obviously have problems, and it's okay for us to have disagreements about how to solve those problems, and I think you see that going on right now in Congress. But what's not okay is for us to allow deceptions and sort of a deliberate perversion of the language to disguise the problem. So, for example, 6 months ago, both of our presidential candidates condemned earmarks. We were told there would be no earmarks. But many of the very same items that were, remember, in that 38,000 list of earmarks, many of those very same items are now included in the second stimulus. So for example, a community-oriented program services that was part of that original 38,000 earmarks. Well, it's now reinvented itself, and in fact, it's increased to up to a $6 billion stimulus program. And what I see is that it's not actually a shift in congressional priorities, nor even really a decision to forego earmarks, but it's actually a deliberate decision to deceive Americans by relabeling these earmarks as stimulus.
You don't mean like Florida citrus growers and wine growers in California pushing for depreciation of their fields a little quicker? Things like that?
Well, there's a lot of the pork. I mean, pork comes in all forms. I mean, we've seen the degradation of the language in the description of what constitutes critical infrastructure, Tom, to what we've seen later on showing up as water parks and tennis courts and, you know, sort of grants to think about what would make everyone feel good. So, I mean, we've seen that sort of thing. And obviously, there are lots of lobbying groups in there. In fact, since you brought that up, you know, the executive branch is suffering from a similar ailment because, of course, you know, we have where the president signed an executive order, you know, restricting lobbyists on various sorts of activities. And yet 2 days later, we see them issuing a waiver to a lobbyist because it's a special need. Or, you know, so we see this constant degradation of the language. But to me, the earmark issue is the most critical one, Tom, because if these earmarks could have stimulated the economy 6 months ago, I truly believe they would have been supported then. But they were identified back then as pork. It's just now we're being told that despite the fact that Americans are going to have to go deeply, deeply into debt, somehow these pork projects are going to stimulate it. And when you see Congress deliberately deceiving Americans with their language, I think it erodes the trust and confidence that we have in our institutions, in our political leaders, and, you know, in our way of life in general.
We're talking this morning to Federal News Radio commentator Loretta Doane. Her segment, Leadership Matters, is also online at federalnewsradio.com. You can read her comments there. So what do we do about this, Loretta? The Republicans are standing up in opposition. They want a very different kind of economic stimulus put together, including help for mortgages, also just to fix the banking problem altogether rather than trying to push out a bunch of other spending, and that really hasn't been solved yet. So what's your solution for all this?
Well, first of all, I think we have to, both sides, everyone has to commit to honest debate about honest issues, and we have to have a certain moral integrity that, frankly, right now I think is lacking. And it's kind of sad that Congress seems to think that the electorate is so ill-informed that the voters haven't figured that out. So first off, I think every one of the stimulus line items, you know, you can look at the 188-page report, or you can look at sort of the rolled up numbers. I think these numbers should be displayed by item. So in other words, there are huge rolled up numbers like $16 billion for this, $18 billion for that. Break them down for the American people. Break them down by state and by project. Because of course, if these projects are shovel ready, you should have a name and a location and a place.
Good point. Then they don't.
And the second thing is, I think they must separate the long-term versus short-term stimulus. You know, the fact is, any businessman would know that there are a lot of short-term things you have to do in your business, but you also have to plan for long-term growth. So, you know, if Congress wants to go that way, Congress should have an honest debate about it. But pull out those long-term items and put them through the normal authorization and appropriation process that Congress goes through every single year on behalf of the American people. And only focus on the short-term stimulus and focus on them in a level of detail and transparency which they have promised the American people.
Okay, well, we could go on and on. There's a lot of things there. But you also have your cheers and jeers today, and let's talk about those. Your cheer.
Well, my cheer is so exciting. exciting. My cheers to Mary Melbourne, who was at Commerce Department. And in fact, before that, she was actually my personal assistant at GSA. But I like to say she has a new boss, and it's not, you know, whoever's going to be nominated for it. Well, I guess the new Secretary of Commerce has been nominated, but it's actually the boss himself, I say, Bruce Springsteen. She got a chance to be sing backup on the stage at the Super Bowl. You know, how amazing is that? And when I saw that, I thought, of course, she has an amazing voice, but we have all these incredibly talented federal workers, and they're doing amazing things throughout the government, and I just think that the entire government should be proud.
That is wonderful.
Wow, yeah.
But your jeers go out to John Potter, the U.S. Postmaster General.
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed with what I saw as a total lack of imagination in his solution to the problems of the Postal Service's shrinking revenue. You know, if you're a business and you're looking at how do you, and Postal Service is one of the agencies which also has to generate a lot more revenue than is appropriated by Congress, you know, if you think that cutting the number of days that mail is delivered is somehow going to endear you to your customers, you know, it's absolutely wrong. If anything, it's going to drive away the customers, and it might even cause hardship for some of the postal employees who count on that extra income.
Well, you know, Mike Causey has a name for this. He calls it the Washington Monument cut. So when you throw something out that is going to be so unappreciated by the customer, they get a lot more attention than if they just say, well, we're going to cut back on manager salaries. And everybody goes, yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, that could be like the airlines, and you have to pay for Saturday delivery. You leave a $5 bill in your mailbox, and you get mail on Saturday.
Well, you know, Tom, I don't know if you've used it before, but they have these automated processing systems that I absolutely adore. You can go 24 hours a day, anytime you want, and you can, as long as your package is ready to go, you can process your own package, put the stamp on it, put it in the box, and it's off and running. I remember when I was a kid, mail actually used to be delivered sometimes twice a day.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Well, why not take the processing and make that more automated and get more mail carriers out there actually delivering the product? I bet you'd find that, especially in a lot of both rural areas and urban areas, people would be elated to know they could count on their postal service for, frequent delivery. It would be a wonderful thing, and they'd probably find they'd get more customers.